I know. I'm actually having alcohol tonight, so we're gonna see how this goes.
Oh man.
Oh my
Good evening,
God, I'm so excited.
everybody,
Welcome back.
and welcome to
Oh.
the weekly wind down. I am Jackie D, the literary lesbian.
I'm Stacy, the new age old school mom.
I'm Stacy, the political princess.
I'm Jean, the feisty feminist.
I'm Erin, the geeky gal pal.
That took an abnormally long time to get through everybody.
Yeah. All five of us.
Oh, all right, tonight I'm pulling a Stacy and I'm drinking sparkling rosé.
I'm so proud of you.
I know.
I've never been more proud.
It's by
Out of a can.
Outspoken. It was on sale at Safeway. And it just said Outspoken Vineyards, you be you.
Yes.
And it's pretty good. I mean, for rosé in a can. Like,
Just sounds like it's just such a paradox. Rosé in a can, isn't
there's
it?
no like aluminum aftertaste to it. It's delightful.
It's good.
It's
I
good.
know. See? Now you get it.
I'm not switching over permanently. I was just like, I really like the can.
I know. I have reviewed this one on the
Have
podcast
you?
before. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we've done a lot. We've done a lot of wines.
Oh, my.
I almost called you basic, but have you seen the new like thing that
You talking
kids
to
call each
me or
other now?
Stacy?
You.
Oh.
I was gonna say, oh, that's so basic of you. How weird. Like kids call each other simp,
Yeah.
S-I-M-P for like simple, I guess. I'm like, what is the, it doesn't even sound good.
They do that thing.
Yeah. I'm like, okay.
Is
So
that
I got
I'm not
Stella
hip to the
Rosa
lingo
wine.
anymore. Not
I
hip to
know.
the
I hear
lingo.
it and I'm like, what is this? Stella Rosa wine, and I open it and I poured it. And it was so sweet. It's like syrup. And so I looked at the back and it's
So
5%
gross.
alcohol. And I was like, what is this? It's like a giant wine cooler. So I went and put a different bottle in the freezer because like I have to have it chilled. And I was like, oh, so I'm not gonna drink that.
Yeah, Stella Rosa is gross.
It was real gross.
Someone gave me a bottle 1 year for Christmas at work, and it's
Me
not
too. I bet it was
good.
the same person.
I bet it was the same person.
And they probably re-gifted it too.
She probably bought them in bulk and was just like, these were $3
Yes.
each. Here you go. Yeah.
It tastes like a wine cooler, like a cherry
And
wine
not a
cooler.
good wine cooler
Exactly.
either, where you're like,
And
this
not in
is
a good place.
refreshing. Yeah, no. Boo, Stella Rosa.
Yeah. It's
Boo.
not a Bartles and James.
It's a Boone's Farm. Where's my Arbor Mist?
Okay, tonight I am having a Jose Cuervo sparkling rosé margarita from a can. And I didn't have time to salt the rim, so I just put salt in it.
Honestly,
In it.
directly inside. It was,
In
it's great. I really like it.
Well, Stacey, I just want to welcome you back to the dark side. To the
side.
alcohol dark side. Cheers.
Oh, yes.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's good to have you back.
Thanks.
Erin, your hair looks
I'm
nice tonight.
saying is I'm funnier and more fun if I'm drunk.
Well, isn't everybody,
Oh.
though, really?
I get it. I'm delightful.
I mean,
All the
yeah.
time. I'm drunk, not all the time.
No, I think you're delightful all the time.
Aaron.
I know there's a big flirt game going on here tonight between you two. All right, so I'm drinking. I'm on the beer, and I was explaining earlier to Jackie that when I was panic shopping at the package store, I picked up a 6-pack of Fat Tire Belgian wheat.
Ooh.
Excuse me. And I chose it because I love Fat Tire Amber Ale. That's like one of my favorite like Amber Ales, Fat Tire. So I figured, well, how bad could it be? Well, I got the answer. It's not good. Fat Tire, you failed on the Belgian white, but it's, and I'm drinking it.
Oh, that's
That's
sad.
that.
Sad. Sorry.
Yeah, I know.
Gene's not a quitter, okay?
I'm not. I'm committed to this 6-pack.
You know what? I hope you drink it all tonight.
Gonna be a long
Right.
relationship.
Yes. Well, yeah, this is already my third beer, by the way.
Oh, so not that
Trying to
long.
get rid of It's less of a relationship and more of a dalliance.
Yes, exactly.
I hate to disappoint you all, but I'm drinking Tito's tonight.
Not
a disappointment.
No, we're in the middle of a pandemic, people. We're quarantined. I can't go to the liquor store.
It's pretty so on brand for you, though.
I had to get the old standby of
Tito's. But that's comforting. It's nice to know some things never change.
It will never change. I almost did whiskey, and I was like, that sounds dangerous. So...
worse than vodka.
And we only have so long, Aaron.
Yeah, I feel like I would be sitting here like either sipping it or drinking it too fast. So sipping it would not get me anywhere, and drinking it too fast would get me everywhere.
Well, we are grateful that you didn't come on to the podcast halfway into the bottle of Tito's.
Thank you.
You're quite well.
How did that happen? Did you just get home? Or you like normally you get on here and you're already... two sheets of the wind, Piper.
Well, I'll tell you what happened. So I came home, and I had two beers because it was just kind of like a stressful day. And then I passed out on the couch watching Toy Story 4 with Gail. And now I feel good. I'm like, I had a nap. I had a couple beers. I'm like ready to go. I had dinner. Gail's making blueberry lemon streusel muffins. Right now. It is just like fucking Little House on the Prairie over here, and I am loving it.
Every time Lex makes a loaf of her sourdough bread, she goes, Pioneer Woman. And I'm like, that's not like you're making it in a stove. It's not like you're doing it over the fire. But
that would be awesome if she did. Don't you guys have a fireplace out there?
Yeah, but it's gas.
Jeez. Yeah, never mind. It'd be easier to bake it in the stove.
Yeah, Pioneer Woman.
Making an espresso martini to go with that coffee cake. That would be awesome.
That would be amazing. You know, Gail knows how to make a very amazing cappuccino martini. Yeah.
Stop telling me what I missed this past week not being with you guys in Tampa.
Sorry. I'm sorry. Listen.
Thanks, fucking Corona.
Yeah. You were going to go to Tampa?
Fucking up. I was supposed to be there with them this past week.
Aww.
Fuck you, Corona.
I'm just saying. I just got a blueberry streusel lemon muffin delivered.
Gail.
Delivered.
So good.
Excuse me while I eat this.
Coffee cake, Aaron. You're so lucky.
I mean, you know, and she's pretty, so it's really amazing.
Well, that's hot blonde, yeah.
So, what are we talking about?
How,
this
I need
week?
To know how it is. Okay.
Oh my god, it's so good.
It's so good.
Can you email that to us?
I'm on it. Are you gonna print it out in your 3D printer?
Yep.
Yes.
What are we talking about this week? We probably should have this conversation before we go.
What even is what even is a week?
I don't know. I mean, what day is it?
51 days, umpteen hours.
Yep, umpteen, Usher, umpteen.
Well, Stacy's got some new house guests. She's got visitors.
I do. I have a litter of kittens. They're like 2 weeks old, maybe 2 weeks old, and they keep me up all night.
How cute.
Do they do the kitten thing where they go to meow and it doesn't come out all the way, so it's just meh, and then their mouth stays open?
Yes, they do. Their meows haven't come all the way in, so they do the squeaks and the meh.
That's so cute.
They're cute, but they're a pain in the ass. They like cry. They sleep a lot, which is nice. But
aren't all babies though?
You have to feed them every 2 hours, and they're too small to, like, go to the bathroom, so you have to stimulate them to go to the bathroom every time you feed them.
What does that
and it's
mean?
Like, you just have to, like,
a
rub them with a tissue.
A Q-tip on their butthole.
I am so confused by that.
I'm sorry, you have to stimulate?
We've done the orphan kitten thing before, so it's just one of those things, but it's a lot of work.
So you're a fluffer.
Yeah.
I did not just chug that gross wine.
I texted him and I was like, I can't drink this. And so
he
came in with another
chugged
bottle.
It.
I'm telling you, it was like a wine cooler. Like juice.
So he just chugged a wine cooler?
Yeah.
Very manly.
If you let it sit out long enough, you may be able to turn it into syrup.
Yeah.
For your pancakes.
Pancakes.
I miss Kai's breakfast.
10 out of 10 would recommend.
Bacon. Yeah, really, really a 10 out of 10.
So how's everyone's week going?
So
Go ahead.
Have people, like, in your area, did they close the trails, the lakes, the parks? Jax is rolling her eyes. Well, we went hiking and we got stopped by a cop that said that this is the last of the trails that are being closed. And he was like, it's because out-of-towners are coming in. And they had to, they got 200 people in trouble from coming from out of town hiking on our trails over Easter weekend. So I'm just curious, is everybody else dealing with the same thing? Because I have a friend up just past Sacramento that's still hiking every day. She's like, what are you talking about? The trails are open. And I'm like, no, they're not.
You just stumbled into my personal nightmare that I spend half my day working on.
My area where I live, that is not a huge problem. But it depends on if they're regional parks, state parks, whatever. Our parks and trails are open. Our playgrounds, sport courts, picnic areas, those things are closed. And everybody is pretty much obeying that. And so I take Piper on a walk every single day except for today. And people are pretty good about staying 6 feet apart. And I haven't seen, at least in my neighborhood, I haven't seen a lot of people like violating that kind of stuff. There's people walking with masks on.
So where I personally live, I live near Stacy. It's not an issue here. People, I mean, yes, playgrounds are closed because you can't properly disinfect and sanitize and yada yada. But where I work, I was trying really hard. We have two fishing access points in the county that I work for, and I have been keeping those. We closed overnight camping, day use. I run two reservoirs. So we had to close those down because you can't trust people to social distance when they're camping. And that's already inherently a dirty activity. You're not, you don't have hand washing readily available, yada, yada, yada. Everyone knows what camping is. So I had held off on closing down our two fishing access points because inherently fishing is typically a solitary activity where people are social distancing themselves anyway, just by the nature of the sport. Well, now we've run into the problem where people are now backing their jet skis into those fishing locations and holding family picnics and cookouts in the parking lots. And they've pretty much ruined it for everyone. And I had to put up barriers today, cement barriers, because they tore the other barriers out to get their stuff in, to block people off from using it. And what irritates me the most is, it's going to be me that gets beat up on social media for making the decision to close it, even though I'm not the one that ruined your fun. Your dumb neighbors ruined your fun. Like, you guys had to be assholes and not keep yourself at a safe social distance, and now it has to be taken away from everyone. And part of the problem is because we get, because everything else, it depends on how severe the lockdowns are in other places, you will get out-of-towners coming in and utilizing access points that aren't. Now, I don't know if they all were. We're definitely not stopping and checking people's IDs and asking them, you know, where they live specifically. So I can't tell you that they're all out-of-towners. But, yeah, we've had to restrict that now, and people are going to lose their minds over it. Because we've essentially now taken away every activity. Trails are still open for us, but I have closed public bathrooms. Otherwise, you have to have someone stationed in there cleaning every time someone touches a handle or whatever. And I don't know, people aren't all that familiar with how disgusting certain individuals are in parks bathrooms, but they will smear feces all over the wall and piss. It happens. I wish I could tell you there were isolated incidents. It happens all the time. They will take poop and throw it on the ceiling. Like, it's insane. Ew. It's insane. They'll take all the paper.
Do they, like, touch it with their own hands?
I'm not there. Yeah. I don't know.
Because, you know what? I'm telling you, did you ever have a breakthrough in the toilet paper? And then you end up with, like, one tiny little dot of your own poop on your hand? I get one tiny, tiny little dollop of poop, my own poop on my hand, and I'm ready to have a mental breakdown. I don't know how people in public do that. I don't get
Maybe they use a little, like, park shovel.
Well, you also get the same ones that take, that's why so many of the parks bathrooms and stuff, they have air dryers. It's not just to save the environment. It's because people clog the toilets intentionally. They clog the sinks intentionally. They wet all the towels and throw them against the walls and the ceilings. Yeah.
It's gotta be teenagers, right?
I don't know. I would like to think it's just teenagers being bored. I don't think it always is. I think it's people angry at local government. I think it's people who get fed up for all kinds. I think it's mentally ill people. I think it's drunk people, people who are messed up on drugs, just do it. I mean, they light our park benches on fire for no reason. Like, I can't tell you the amount of destruction that goes on in public parks. We could be, I'll tell you this, a lot of your tax dollars go to repairing parks facilities that don't need to be repaired because people are assholes.
I cannot imagine being drunk enough that I wanted to pick up my own shit and throw it on the ceiling.
Oh, people will write messages on the walls and poop.
I can't.
People will shit right next to the toilet because they don't want to sit on the toilet seat. They'll shit next to the toilet.
That's so gross.
What the fuck is wrong with people?
What a great question, Aaron.
Yeah.
They don't cover this in rec school, I'll tell you that.
Nope.
Well, speaking of parks, so I live in a neighborhood that has like two or three parks. They're all closed. All the like little like trails that go around the park is closed. Most parks in Florida are closed, but well, especially Hillsborough County, Pinellas County, Pasco County, they're all closed. There's a really awesome walkway that goes from Tampa to Clearwater, and it's called the Courtney Campbell Causeway Walkway, and it's, like, super awesome. It's, like, it goes up and over the bay, which is really great. Well, it's closed, but there are still hundreds of people on it, which is just absolutely mind-boggling. We went for a walk, like, I think last weekend, maybe? I don't remember. But we went for a walk, in this road called Bayside, that's, like, in, like, going into downtown Tampa. And it was actually really nice. There were some people out there, but everybody was social distance, which is great. But, people are just assholes in Florida. I'll tell you right now, if there's anything that has made me, like, given me the whatever I needed to really seriously hate this state, it has been this entire thing. All of this that has happened. Our governor is an idiot. Most people in Florida are Republicans. They're just stupid. They're just absolutely stupid. They don't think it's a big deal, and they don't really care about the people that are dying. And it's just sad. It's really, really sad. And in their mind, it is more important to go out in the bay and all party together in boats than it is to save a fucking life. So I'm just so angry at this fucking state. I don't even want to live here anymore. I told Gail I want to move. So we'll see if that'll ever happen. Probably
won't. Well, because you got Trump Jr. as your governor there.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally what it is.
You've got assholes everywhere, though. Like, it's not just Florida. There's assholes here in
Florida,
California. There's
absolutely bad.
I think it's just more okay in Florida for assholes to continue to be assholes because there's so many. It's like you're outnumbered when you actually follow the rules. Like, people don't follow the rules here. And I'm not just talking about these rules. I'm talking about normal, everyday fucking rules. Like merging onto fucking the highway into traffic. People don't merge. They stop in the merge
line. Oh, they did that in Pennsylvania, too.
I don't even understand it. It's just like normal, everyday fucking laws and rules that we have for
societal norms. Societal norms. You're breaking up.
I'm just like, I can't even describe to you how many times my road rage has come out and like this, like, and I learned how to drive in Colorado. I've driven in Chicago, which has notoriously horrible drivers. And I would much rather drive in Chicago in the middle of rush hour traffic than this motherfucking roads in Florida. I'm just telling, Florida has so many people that are just idiots. They're just idiots. They're just fucking idiots.
I just don't understand the, like, oh, it's closed, I'm going to enter anyways. Like, right? No, it's closed. Like, you don't get to this.
The government can't tell me what to do.
I literally,
this is America. Government can't tell me to stay in my house.
Because like Gene, I also have a governor crush. and I watch all of the press conferences. Somebody literally, one of their comments
Gavin
was,
Newsom is like porn to Stacey.
Oh my God.
He's the left coast hottie governor.
Batman
Andrew's the right coast one.
I'm into it. But somebody literally, their comment during one of his press conferences, like on Facebook, was, Newsom ain't gonna ruin my summer. I was like, get the fuck out of here.
Right?
Maybe being on a ventilator will ruin your summer when you get the corona.
It will put a damper on it.
Sure will.
Yeah.
What are you seeing on Republican Facebook, Stace?
it's just like she said, like, Newsom ain't gonna ruin my summer. all the time. How great Trump is for giving us all this money is a huge one right now because everybody's stimulus
check. He signed the check.
That's not how it works. Came in.
He signed the check. And they're saying, like, if you cash your check or spend any of the money, it's saying that he is your president. That one is huge right now. Oh. Like, it's accepting him as your president.
Do they and understand then, that it wasn't even him? It was the fucking Democrats that got us all this fucking money?
And, by the way, that money is taxpayer money. It's our money anyway.
Right. And by the way, are those Trump supporters who are cashing the check, do they realize they've cashed the biggest socialist government payout in history? Do they realize that their god Trump is the biggest, most fiscally irresponsible conservative president in history?
I'm pretty sure that's exactly what goes through their head, Gene.
Do you know how much money it takes to turn a Republican to a socialist?
How much?
$1,200.
I was just gonna say $1. Those motherfuckers would have taken $1, greedy fucks. You know what else that you could tell them? Oh, by the way, all this money that Trump is giving away to small businesses, the fucking payroll protection plan loan is basically already tapped the fuck out.
Yeah, like, there's out of money.
Fucking like businesses that were guaranteed this money that don't even get it. They do not even fucking get it. So fuck Trump.
I'm glad
the Republicans are singing his praise from the rooftops right now because everybody is so like, he got us all this money. Look how great he is. He said he was going to do it. He did it. It only took like 3 weeks. It was the fastest we've ever gotten money, blah, 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 blah. And the whole, the government can't tell me what to do. And I'm going to go out and live my life anyway. So they're out pretending like this isn't even happening.
Stormy Daniels said the same thing. I never got a check faster in my life with Donald Trump's signature on it.
I never thought I'd have something in common with Stormy Daniels. But look at that. We both
It's a weird world right now. It's a weird fucking world. I know.
There are no rules. Stacey, do you notice, because I've noticed this, not in people I'm friends with on Facebook, but like reading comments on posts and stuff, there's this like thing where people are equating the low number of people infected in California with failure. Like, we're overreacting because the number's low, not that the number is low because we are social distancing and that kind of stuff. Like, have you seen a lot of that? Yeah,
and also the comparison to H1N1 is still rampant, and I'm like, it's got to be on Fox News. They must be comparing it and saying it Hannity. Still, because I feel like it's been proven. This is worse. This is, you know, it's not the flu. So I feel like it's got to be coming from somewhere that these people are all still saying it. The flu kills more people per year. And why didn't we do this when, you know, H1N1 came out 2 years ago when it was super bad and all this stuff? And I'm like, are we still talking about this?
H1N1 had a, and I'm not like telling you, I'm informing anyone who doesn't always know what to say back to these talking points. H1N1 had a much quicker incubation period. So you would know within 4 days if you had H1N1. The spread rate, the contagion rate was much lower. It was much more difficult to get H1N1. And it also lasted, those number totals of like deaths, it spanned over 2 years. So we don't really know what the total numbers are going to be, and we won't for a while. And then the whole like, it frustrates me, and I told Lex the other day, or last night, because she was trying to read me part of this article, and I was like, nope, I do not listen to anything about COVID after 7 p.m. Like, I have to take a break because my mind's just going to explode because I take too much in all day long. The other aspect of it is it's very hard to prove a negative. So when you show results that with low numbers, it's very easy to say, see, it's not even that big of a deal, because it's people will take our brains are wired to take shortcuts to support our biases already. So if we immediately think, if we are already in our heads that this is government overreach, this is what are they saying communism looks like, this is what socialism looks like, when actually it's more in line with fascism if your government's telling you to stay in the house, but that's neither here nor there. It's very, very difficult to prove a negative and say, or to get a person's mind to actually go to the cause and effect when they've already decided a different way, because our brains do take shortcuts to support our internal biases. So if I think this is government overreach and I'm looking around and I'm saying, well, there's only 122 cases in the entire county. Yes, you're not taking into account all of the steps that went into place to keep those 122 cases in the county. And so it's not 22,000. Like, all of those things are difficult to prove.
And those are just confirmed cases. Mm-hmm. And you have to still, like you said, keep in mind the contagion rate. So how quickly those cases can become.
Well, Iceland, if you guys look at the Iceland study, and it was either Iceland or Greenland, and I apologize, but I...
They're the same thing.
Yeah. they actually tested 50% of their population.
It was Iceland.
Iceland. And mm-hmm. it ended up being that, what was it? Was it, oh, maybe it was 50% of the population was actually asymptomatic. They tested the entire population.
Yes.
And half of the population ended up being carriers and showing zero symptoms, mm-hmm. which mm-hmm. is what continues to make this disease so dangerous. And another attribute that makes it different than H1N1. You were not walking around with that high a percentage of people that were asymptomatic. Like, this disease just presents differently than what we're used to seeing. Mm-hmm. And is the recovery rate great? It is. The majority of people will survive this. Is that risk good enough for your grandma or grandpa? Is it? I just don't know that it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or the kid that lives down the street from you that has asthma that may not survive it. Or like,
or all of the plenty of completely healthy young people that get it and wind up on ventilators too.
Yes. Right. Like people that have literally nothing wrong with them but get it and can't fight it. Either their immune system just wasn't prepared, whatever the fuck. It's so sad. And to see that it's like, every single case is like almost has to be treated differently. Like, that's not normal. Like, that is not a normal.
And just the need for interventionists and being in the ICU and intensivists, interventionists. Jesus, I need an intervention. intensivists and stuff is so much higher with this than with that, and the need for respirators and stuff. I don't know about you guys. I spent my fair amount of time sitting in an ICU and it's no joke. It's like usually one to two patients per nurse. In most places, just one. And that is what puts such a huge drain on the hospitals and stuff. So it's just a completely different beast. Most hospitals don't have 100 ventilators.
No, they have maybe 10, if that. Yeah. Like, there are so many hospitals that have a 4-bed ICU. Like, in the country, there are not a lot of large hospitals with these huge ICU units. That's not normal. My mother was an ICU nurse for her entire nursing career. Like, she was, like, worked in a hospital that had 7 beds, which was a huge hospital. And then she moved to, you know, rural Colorado where, you know, there was 1 ICU bed. So, I mean, like, there's such a huge difference in, like, where you're at, where you're located. Yeah. And, like, to see that these people just don't understand that, like, just because people are able to fight it does not mean that everybody that can't fight it is going to be able to come back from it. And they're going to need such a high level of care that we don't have enough to do that. And why is it so hard for people to like understand that it's for the greater good? Where people just don't get it.
I was listening to this doctor from the Mayo Clinic speak today, and he was doing a lecture, like a Zoom lecture to a class. And it was just a snippet. I didn't watch the whole thing, full disclosure, but, he was saying, and he put it really succinctly where I was like, yes, more people need to hear this message. He was telling his doctoral students, that people who are in his, MD program, listen, when this is all said and done, the same number of people that were going to get sick if we had not done social distancing are going to be sick. That is without a fact. What we are trying to change now is how many people will die. That's it. The same number of individuals in this country will have gotten sick no matter what. We're trying to change how many people will die. And I was like, exactly. Like, we're not, no one is saying you're not, because I'm so tired of hearing, well, I don't care if I get it, I'll be fine. We're not worried about that. Yes, at some point, everyone is going to come into contact with this disease and run the possibility of getting sick or be asymptomatic or whatever the case. You're trying to change how many people die. That's it. That's all you're
doing.
A big
thing that the Republicans say, though, is that COVID doesn't kill people. Everybody that's died, it's been an underlying condition. And so everybody should just go out and get it and build our immune systems, because it's such a big thing right now that everybody's posting.
That's crazy that they think that, though, because even when you look at the numbers of deaths attributed and stuff, do you know how many deaths there have been that haven't been attributed to it because they're not doing autopsies and stuff? Mm-hmm. Like, they don't all have underlying conditions, and that's what I don't get. Like, I don't know if you guys are in that howl group on Facebook, but there's this group that goes out and howls every night at 8 o'clock or whatever for people. But the amount of people on there every single day that lost a family member, lost a whoever, don't laugh at my howl group.
I just feel like I miss entire portions of the population. I'm like, what are these people doing?
I think that started during the pink moon, right? Didn't that start then?
Maybe.
And then they just continued it.
It's like
thankfully Dempsey keeps us in the loop.
Yeah, you're welcome. Keeping you guys on top of what's happening. But it's the same thing as like the, what's it called? Like the thank you hour, the grateful hour, whatever that thing. It's the same kind of thing. And so, but just the amount of people posting in that group, like, oh, I'm howling for my whatever, my friend who lost their mother and father to the virus today, my this, my that. Like, I don't get how people think people aren't dying from this. There's this lady that I follow on Instagram. She's like a fitness person, and her husband is an actor. He's been on Broadway. He got it and had two negative tests and finally was admitted to the hospital and had a positive test. He had to call her and say, they're about to put me on a ventilator. I don't know when I'm going to be able to talk to you again. They have a almost one-year-old, I think. Like, he's perfectly healthy, no underlying conditions. He ended up getting put on a ventilator on ECMO. He had to have emergency surgery because the ECMO was messing with his legs. Like, that's someone completely healthy, completely healthy. He crashed. They had to resuscitate him. Like, it's a whole thing.
Well, the other
not just people with underlying conditions.
We watch this every day, though, too. And I don't know why people can't make the correlation. Like, when my grandmother passed away 9 years ago, what finally took her, besides all of her other health conditions, what finally like put her in the hospital for the last time and took her life was pneumonia. Like, it doesn't always present in the exact thing that's killing them. People who are suffering from HIV, it's not HIV that ends up killing, like, specifically. It depletes your immune system. So it ends up being a cold that turns into pneumonia that ends up killing you. Like, just because you can be a carrier for something.
That happens a lot with cancer, too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You may not actually die from specifically leukemia. You could die from the flu. But you're depleting your immune system to the point where you cannot combat these other common diseases that you would normally be able to, which is why when people are saying, oh, well, that they didn't actually, we don't know, like, they had a heart attack. It wasn't COVID, but they're attributing it to COVID. Well, it's because afterwards they tested it, found out that they were positive for COVID. You don't know how that, because this disease isn't old enough to be able to say, this leads to this, leads to this. Like,
well, but it's just that arguing fact thing again that people do. Like, I have personally read and watched videos of so many firsthand experiences with this thing from people who were hospitalized. oh my gosh, what's his name? Why can't I think of the reporter?
Chris Cuomo.
Yeah, his experience.
My husband's brother.
That's another perfectly healthy.
I never thought I'd hear you say that sentence, Jean. Like, I'm gonna need a second to come back. Say it one more time.
I am lost in a Corona fantasy world.
Your future brother-in-law.
Yes, exactly. Okay. And I would just like to say that. My friend that I've been friends with since I'm 13 years old, I basically grew up with her and her entire family. 2 weeks ago, her father passed away in a convalescent home because COVID-19 swept through his convalescent home. And yes, he was not in a convalescent home because he was young and healthy, but COVID-19 robbed her and her family of the chance to be by his bedside, to visit with him face to face, to hold his hand for the last month. And he was in there, but he wasn't imminently ready to die. Mm-hmm. it was it was COVID-19 that swept through that nursing home. I think the death toll is up to like 12. This is right in my town in East Haven. And he passed away from it. And they couldn't even see him for the last month of his life because of that. So I don't want to hear from anybody, oh, the old people, they're going to die anyway. If it wasn't this, it would be something else. Yeah, I mean, that's true. But the fact that families and loved ones of these elderly people cannot see them, cannot be with them, cannot hold their hands in the last months of their lives, that's serious fucking shit. Yeah. And if you're going to be a selfish fuck and not give a shit, you know, that's on you. But don't turn around and say to other people, oh, they were old, they were going to die anyway. Well, fuck you. You're going to die someday, too. Do you want someone or something to fucking speed up that process?
And then you have to be alone?
Yeah, and you have to be alone while you do it. Exactly. Good point.
And no more than 10 people can come to your funeral?
Right, exactly. We were standing apart at a graveside burial for that man who's a Catholic because they could not... The churches are closed. The funeral home said, oh, we could have a wake for him, but you can't have more than 5 people in the room at once. They're like, you know what? We forget it. When all this shit's over, we will have a mass for him at church. But in the meantime, you know, I mean, he was an Army veteran. They couldn't even get the Army to come out and give him the whole bells and whistles that you get for being in the military. Thank God they were able to scrape together like 3 people who were part of different armed services, not the Army, who actually would come out to this man's graveside funeral.
That's awful.
Yeah, so I
don't stay the fuck home and stop complaining that this is a...
If anything, just stay home so we can all go out sooner.
Yeah.
The problem too is that I feel like so many places see... Like what Jean's speaking of, you guys in California, me in Florida, like we're in these areas that are heavily hit, you know, and then I think back to my friends that are living in Northwest Indiana where, you know, they're in like, you know, it's like suburbs of Chicago. So they're not small, they're decent sized little cities and they're not hit that hard. But also the state closed down, like Indiana closed down very quickly, like March 20th before that. The state was closed. Like, they closed everything down. They closed restaurants, da-da-da-da-da. So, like, they did way more than I thought Indiana would ever do. Thank God Mike Pence isn't in charge anymore.
Oh, God.
But, like, it's funny because, you know, like, I think I've spoken of her before. Like, one of my really good friends, she's an ER, like, director. She downplayed it for so long. You know what I mean? Like, she was just like, it's nothing, it's nothing, it's not a big deal. Like, we don't have anything, we have nothing, da-da-da. And it's like, but you might. And when you do, like, how are you going to be prepared for it? You know, this isn't H1N1. This is something completely different. And, like, how New York City doctors are dealing with it is not necessarily always the best way. How are you going to deal with it in Valparaiso, Indiana? You know what I mean? Like, you have to think about these things. Like, not every patient is the same. You know, like, I remember reading that article where it was like, you know, the doctor said that he thought it was like almost like all of his, like, these people that were infected in New York City had been traveling at 30,000 feet and there was a crack in the hull of the plane and they were all losing oxygen. That's how the virus presented itself, as like high altitude sickness. Like, that's how it was presenting itself, not necessarily as pneumonia, you know? So it was, it's all these different, you know, things that are happening. And I feel like in these smaller communities that aren't hit as hard, they're like, ah, it's nothing. We'll deal with it. We'll figure it out. So we lose a couple people. Who cares? Like, that's not what it is. Like, it's just so, it's so, like, fucking archaic. It's just, it reminds me of, like, you know, like, some guy comes into your saloon with a bullet hole and you pour some vodka on it and you say, oh, you'll be fine, buddy. You got some fucking buckshots in your ass. You'll be fine. Like, what the fuck? Hello, partner.
Pull yourself up by your bootstraps.
Yeah, you'll be all right. Get on your fucking horse and get out of here. I don't know why my cowboy's from New York. I don't know. Oh, I gotta get it.
Have another drink.
Old West, Old West. Give me Old West accent right now, Gene.
I also...
Well, partner, I think y'all better get your weak, yellow-bellied ass out of here. If you can't take a bullet to the ass, then you ain't got no business in this here saloon.
Throwing and COVID-19 ain't got nothing on that buckshot, motherfucker.
There you go.
I also wish that... And this is personal for me, but I wish people would take it a little bit easier on local governments. Like, they're, mm-hmm. they're people too, and they're just doing the best they can with the information they have. Like, we may...
And the information they have is no much more than the information everyone else has.
We may exit out of this and be like, okay, we could have 100% handled this differently and done that differently. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe we did it. Like, there will come out of this a plan of action that if something like this happens again, it can be handled differently, but... Don't forget that the people also, let me preface it with this. Your local government is not the federal government, okay? The people who work for you in your local entities, they live with around you. Their kids go to the same schools your kids go to. They use the same parks that your kids go to. They use all the same facilities, hair salons, groomers, like all of those things they share with you. They are not out to get any of you, okay? I think there's this like major disconnect between like, citizens and local government thinking that we're all working against you and we're just this like one big conspiracy out to make life harder. And that's not the case.
It all affects us too.
You see that as you get higher up, but your local government are some of the most honest people in government work that you will actually ever meet because it affects them. Tax increases affect them. Water rates increasing affect them. All of that shit affects them. So when you get online and you start berating your like local parks and recreation department, that is one like 24-year-old woman sitting at a computer trying to answer your questions who's just doing their job. Okay. Mm-hmm. She didn't make the decision to close the park. She did not call the cops on you. It was Jackie.
It was me.
And I made the decision based on because you are not protecting yourself, we have to think about the county as a whole and say we have to worry about the most at-risk people. And are you putting our most at-risk people in danger by going out and doing these things? And if the answer is yes, we have to take those things away from you. And we don't want to. We don't want to do that. Go ahead.
I feel like sometimes, I know I've said a lot tonight, but thank Tito just for
blah,
that.
Blah,
Uncle
blah,
Tito.
Blah, 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 Aaron. Blah, blah, blah.
I think a part of the reason that people do not understand local government is because they see their action, like the overall federal government doing exactly what they didn't want them to do when they voted them into office. You know what I mean? Like, I think so many times federal government people that are voted into office are so fucking corrupt that like you lose faith in government. It doesn't mean that you don't understand that local government is supposed to be there to help you and that it affects them the same way it affects you. I think you just think like government sucks. And I'm not saying that like that's how I feel. Like I actually am very happy with Hillsborough County government. You know, like I love the Tampa mayor. Like I think she's amazing. Like there are so many things that I'm very happy about, like for Hillsborough County. But like it's so funny because when you think about like government as a whole, you think like there's so many corrupt motherfuckers in there.
Sure.
That when you think about like what's happening with the fucking Trump administration,
sure.
You're like these ass don't know their fucking, you know, ass from a hole in the ground. And I'm supposed to trust my local, my fucking governor. You know what I mean? So I think there's so many times when like people are like struggling to find out how to trust people that they've put in these offices or that have been hired into these offices. And they just don't know how to do that because there's so many other aspects of this government, this entire overarching government.
I get it.
Fucked up.
I don't disagree with you, but let me tell you how many times a day, especially during this pandemic, that I'm presented with like four different choices and I look at all of them and I go, none of them are great. There's no good options for me to make a decision based on who I'm gonna upset, who this is gonna affect, how many people it's going to affect, and what's going to protect my staff. Like there has very rarely been a scenario that I've been like, oh, that's an easy choice. They're never easy. And I'm 100% sure I've made a few along the way because I sit on so many subcommittees and stuff that I'm going to look back and say, we should have done this differently. And next time we will. But I just want people to remember that those people are human and they, believe it or not, are doing the best they can to make the best choice possible with the information they have. Like, I constantly think back to after 9/11, right? So I know a lot of people were out of the gate, super anti-invading Iraq, super anti-war, okay? And I didn't fully understand why we were there, and I was there, and it still didn't make sense to me, and I just assumed I didn't have all the information because I was stuck on a ship in the middle of the ocean, and I wasn't getting everything. But then I come home and find out, no, a lot of people felt like that. It's very easy to play Monday morning quarterback and look back and say, we should have done A, B, C, and D, and the outcome would have been different. But when you're in the situation and you're presented with the only facts that you have in that moment, there's a lot of people now who are against the Iraq war that were not when we invaded Iraq, who, knowing what they know now, would make different choices.
Right.
And there are some who've always been against it, and they made the right call from the beginning, and that's fucking awesome. They had foresight that the rest of us did not have. All I'm saying is, take it easy on your local government who are just trying to protect the community. When you're angry that you're stuck in your houses and you can't go do things and they're closing things down, understand that none of those choices came easily. None of them did. We do not want to be held responsible for closing businesses down and local mom and pop shops closing and people not being able to, because we depend on that tax revenue. What do you think funds your local government but tax revenue? Exactly. When you go out and spend money, we get a portion of it to pay our employees. Now we're facing the possibility of furloughs. We're going to have to lay staff off. We have to cut services. We have to do all of these things. We're being hit by it too. And we're still just trying to make the best choices possible. And they're not always going to be the right ones, but I don't think there's any right ones or easy ones in this situation. Every decision that we make is going to hurt or upset someone.
Right.
That we are just trying to mitigate how many people are hurt or upset. That's it. So just take it easy, Autumn.
Right.
That's my own little personal, like, no one has it out for your barbershop personally. No one's trying to purposely put you under. Gavin Newsom does not care about your barbershop, or I shouldn't say doesn't care. He's not concerned about solely your barbershop in Sonora, California, that he's trying to make you go under. Like, when I get on these Facebook groups now and I see these people being like, elections have consequences. You never should have put Newsom in office. I'm like, what's the other choice right now? Like, you look at the rest of the country, the New York Times and stuff is touting praise of California, saying that the only reason the curve has been flattened is because Newsom was so hard-lined and so on top of it and did the right thing from the get-go, but it's hurting local businesses. But how many people would be hurt if we had kept our doors? We make up 13% of the fucking population of this country. Mm-hmm. There's 40 million people that live here. Do you know, if corona spread rampant through California, we would infect the entire country because so many people travel into and out of California for a variety of things. Like, I just wish people weren't so black and white when it came to this and just understood that everyone's trying the best they can. That's all.
And stop looking at low numbers as a failure. That's a success.
Right.
And with everything, you know, if it works, it's an overreaction. And stop looking at it like that, because that's not the case.
Right. I 100% agree. When, like, there, you know, obviously numbers aren't super, I mean, they're high right now. Everything's high. Everything's fucking high, right? Except for me. Hey. But, like, things are
one
high.
Time.
Like,
one time.
Just, numbers are, but, like, it's just, like, just because numbers aren't skyrocketing right now doesn't mean that we did the wrong thing. It means we did the fucking right thing.
Right. Yeah.
Like, everyone closing down and social distancing and staying safer at home and having curfews and, you know, XYZ, you know, fill in the blank. Like, just because the numbers aren't continuing to skyrocket doesn't mean that it was wrong to do it.
It means it's working.
Like, it's working. Like, you don't, like, put baking powder in and see it rise and go, well, it wasn't supposed to fucking rise. No, it was. Like, you were supposed to put baking powder in for it to rise. Like, what is wrong with you people? Like, I just think, like, sometimes people are so quick to blame anybody of anything that they're just like, oh, well, it's not working. Clearly, we should go back to normal because the numbers are fine.
Mm-hmm.
Also, no, you're an idiot.
False.
I don't know.
False.
What's everyone watching this week? Go ahead, Jean. Sorry.
No, I was just going to add a final comment that it's really easy to vent all your frustrations on a local government when they're, you know, their shit rolls downhill. So mm-hmm. it starts at the federal, state, and then county, and then municipal. Mm-hmm. So absolutely, you can't go around blaming your local government for decisions that were made based on what all of the level of governments above them, the policies that they instituted, and it's, you know, it's a cheap shot, I think.
Well, and let me tell you, I sit in a department head meeting every single day. Every day we get on this goddamn department head meeting, and when we discuss things that we have to close and things that we have to do, one of the first things that everybody talks about is who is going to be affected by this? Who are we going to hurt? What is the outcome going to be? Is the end result worth making people uncomfortable or put out or whatever? Who are we concerned about? If you think your local leaders don't care about that, you're just wrong. You're mm-hmm. wrong, because yeah. they do care. They have family members that live in that community. They have relatives that are being affected by this. They have spouses that have small businesses. Like, they are completely mm-hmm. intertwined with your community. And if you think they don't care, I cannot urge people enough to participate in your local government. Like, go to your mm-hmm. city council meetings. Go to your county meetings. You can speak your piece at the beginning of every meeting and say how you feel about whatever, and you have a politician sitting right there in front of you who has to answer you and has to give you a response. Like, it is the most... Well, they push you off on a staff member to give you a response, but...
Legally, they can't unless the item's agendized.
Yes, but it's the quickest response you'll get in government.
Yeah, and even if you're not comfortable going, most places live stream them.
Yes.
You can start by just watching them at home from the comfort of your couch.
I'll tell you what, one of the first things I learned from you guys, aside from like the very first sex talk, was pay more attention to your local government.
Your local government affects your day-to-day life far more than the president ever will. Like, who you have in office there and who's protecting your interests has an everyday effect on you. What they're zoning in your community, like all of those little things affect you.
District attorney, it's far-reaching.
Yeah. It's incredible how little people pay attention to what goes on. Like, the shit that goes through on consent calendar that no one ever talks about is mind-boggling. We go in there with our 15 pages of fact sheets ready to answer public questions. And they're like, does anyone have any public comments? And no one stands up. You're like, oh, no shit. No. All right.
Okay. Like, a lot of money we just spent. Nobody had any.
It's a lot of staff hours. Yeah. So get involved with your local government. And like the place I work for, we're doing question and answer sessions where they're doing Facebook live video chats, and you can actually send in your questions right then. And the sheriff is on there answering them. Our public health officer is on there answering. Our county CEO is on there answering. Like, just get involved and people will answer your questions. Like, I'm a department head. I personally respond to emails when people don't understand what's happening. Like, your local government will participate with you if you participate with them.
And you even answer my emails, Jackie, which is really
nice. Generally, there's a reason for how they got to a decision, and they will be happy to explain why they got there. Right.
And let me just tell you, anybody who ever thinks that there's the reason why, when there are some sort of big, like, somebody lied and did something sneaky, why that's big news is because it never happens.
Yep.
So don't just jump to conclusions that, you know, the city council is being paid off by somebody. Do you know how much is detailed and how many things are a matter of public record that you can just request? Like, the likelihood of someone doing something super shady like that is so small at that level, because the amount of minutia that needs to be reported is is absolutely crazy. So don't be the person that jumps to the conspiracy theory at a local government level, because it's really hard to get. I can barely do anything at all without signing away. Why'd I do it? How much did I spend? When did I spend it? What time? What this? What that? What that? Like,
you can go in, pick a public official. If you think your mayor's kind of shady, you can go in and request every email correspondence he's ever had about a specific topic, and they have to give it to you.
I think people watch too much TV. You watch Scandal. Yeah. And then you want to hear?
You want to hear a funny story about the former mayor of East Haven?
Yes.
Yes. Tell me.
This past November, we just elected a new guy. We brought a Democrat back in. But before that, we had a mayor who was accused of flashing his penis to one of the female office workers. And they settled out of court, and we taxpayers got to pay her $100,000.
Wow.
There's always some dude flashing his junk that we have to pay for, always.
I just don't understand why you straight girls want to see junk.
You know what?
We don't want to
see it. They want to use it. They don't want to see it.
Right. I'm just going to admire it like I do a nice painting. Yeah. Look at the way the light is reflecting. No.
You don't want to look at it. You just have to a shot in the dark. Like try to. Is it like a pin the tail on a donkey kind of? When I'm confused. I've seen a lot of porn. I feel like this is great.
Listen, if I'm hungry, I want a donut to eat. I don't want to look at a picture of a donut.
Yeah, there you go.
Right. There you go. Exactly.
You have to. Oh my God.
I think the idea is that the guy wants you to want the donut more so much that when you finally get the donut in front of you, you like are just like, very excited.
Well, I should take that back. Donuts are aesthetically pleasing. And
that's true.
They aren't.
Donuts are aesthetic. You know what's not a thing? Vag pics. Like, you never hear about girls sending pics of their vag out everywhere. Unsolicited vag pics.
I think that's good. Unsolicited, yes.
Unsolicited.
A lot of guys ask for nudes.
Oh, for sure.
As a lesbian, though, I don't want to stare. I don't want to stare at a vagina.
That's how I feel about dick pics.
I don't. Right, I don't
same with dick
like
pics.
Even when it's in front of my face, I don't want to stare at it.
Okay, but like, so you don't want to see a dick pic necessarily. But like, if this is gonna come off wrong, and Gail's in the other room, so let's.
I can't wait to hear what's coming.
Send
me your tits. I'm not gonna be like, oh fuck, I didn't want to see that. I'll be like, oh,
tits
fuck.
And a vagina
titties
are very different.
Right,
titties are
what on a guy. Is aesthetically pleasing if their penis.
Pecs are aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah, pecs.
Upper body, right? Yeah. Isn't upper a man's well-developed upper body?
But that's not something that's like not safe for work. You know, here's the thing that makes things not very fair. I think, as a straight woman, here's my opinion. Okay. I think vaginas not aesthetically pleasing. Penises not aesthetically pleasing. Boobs are nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Agreed.
Boobs,
right?
I don't see boobs and go like, ugh, boobs. But if somebody flashed their vag at me, I'd be like, oh.
Yeah.
Let me tell you this. Alexis sent me a picture of her vag, I'd be like, are we looking for a lump? Like, is something going on down there that, like, are we worried about something growing? Like, what's happening here? I would immediately be like, oh, a vag pic. I'd be like, something's wrong. We need to get to the bottom of it.
A vagina face to face, I would want to blow in it and see if it makes the same noise as a beer bottle.
It's a
hello.
You know when I do the poo-poo in a beer bottle? I always wonder if
like a seashell.
If you held it up to your ear, would it sound like
high cross buns?
A conch shell.
Yeah, you just hear a stirring rendition of hot cross buns. There is no male equivalent to a boob picture.
Don't you guys like forearms and like pecs?
Yeah,
and...
but that's not naughty.
You're okay, so but as a fellow lover of TikTok, Don't you see the videos where the guys like do jumping jacks in gray sweatpants and you're kind of like,
gray sweatpants are the
It's not a dick pic, but it's the equivalent of being not safe for work, but not being
gray sweatpants.
Wait a minute. Is that something that straight girls like?
Yeah.
Because you can see this.
Yeah.
Without seeing it.
You can see the outline or the dick print, if you will.
But it's not as like vulgar as a dick pic.
But it's not. Yeah, it's not like a dick pic. I don't want to see like tubes and stuff.
No.
I would think gross. It would be provocative. It'd
be alluring.
Alluring. Good word. I still don't want to see it.
No, I'm not here provocative. I said it 3 times already.
Provocative.
Isn't
I've
that
heard
a
you.
Good word?
Oh, look at Jean getting feisty talking about dick prints and but provocative.
Not, I know.
But I'm trying to ask the straight girls, is a wiener print in gray sweatpants provocative?
Yeah.
Is that the same thing as a girl sending like a cleavage shot?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Okay, I can get behind that.
Yes.
Me too.
I love cleavage. I love
a cleavage shot too. Like that's so hot.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I can see how like a bouncing ding dong would be slightly like alluring.
Bouncing ding dong.
I don't know. I feel like
it's not
maybe...
always bouncing. Sometimes you can just see it. Basketball players do that a lot.
Like, what about jumping jacks, though? I feel like jumping jacks is definitely going to be bouncing. It's definitely.
I think we're getting in the weeds.
Like,
I think we're getting in the weeds with this
jumping jack video.
I feel like we need to have another sex talk, is what this is saying. We're very much.
I think we're getting in the weeds with this.
It's the year anniversary of our last one.
It
so
really is.
Hey, you know what? Yeah. If a girl asks you
another one next week.
If a girl asks you for a dick pic, then you can go ahead and send one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just don't send them unsolicited. It's weird.
Of course.
It's fucking weird.
Yeah.
Just for like sure. You shouldn't be sending unsolicited tit shots either. Like that's weird too.
I'm sorry, guys.
I got one of those.
Aaron disagrees.
You got one, Jean?
When my tit
I did. I like 10 years ago I was on match.com.
Oh god.
And I started to
tell us everything
on Match. And then like because it was 10 years ago we exchanged emails instead of like cell phone numbers. And so like 2 or 3 days into talking to her, I get just And I'm like, oh, I was like horrified. Not like, just because I was just shocked that I didn't think women did stuff like that. And then she did the old, ooh, sorry, I meant to send that to someone else.
Yeah, okay.
Like that makes it any better.
Yeah, and then it just, God, believe me, it went downhill. It went all downhill from there. But that was my one and only experience with a titty pic. And I have to say, it was not as exciting as you'd think it would be to a lesbian. In that context.
I got an unsolicited dick pic, and I'm a married woman. And this happened like 7 years ago, and it wasn't my husband. I know.
What?
I was sitting at the gas station, and this Schwann's man, you know the Schwann's truck? It's like light yellow, and they come and they sell the biscuits that you can get at Red Lobster.
Yeah,
okay.
His big can of biscuits.
The Schwann's man comes in, and I was like, hey, I've always heard of this. And like, he came through my line, so he was buying a candy bar. And I was like, hey, I've heard of the Schwann's man, but I've never like actually like looked into it. Can you tell me about it? And he's like, here's my card. Here's a catalog, and you can order whatever you want and like whatever. And I was like, awesome, thanks. So I did an order, and the guy comes to my house, and he's like, gives me this stuff. And
I don't
think
that's how it's supposed to work. I don't know a lot about the Schwann's man, but I don't think they're supposed to come in your house.
Yeah, we didn't like come in my like he stood in the driveway and he like gave me the stuff that I ordered because they deliver. And so I took the stuff and I was like, thank you so much. Like this is awesome. I never knew. You know, this is very like 50s feeling. And so he goes to leave. And I go in the house and I shut the door and there's a knock at my door and I go to answer it thinking, oh, I needed to sign something. And he goes awkwardly like, I think you're really attractive, and I was wondering if, like, maybe you wanted to go out sometime. And I was like, oh, no, I'm married. I don't wear a wedding ring. So I was like, oh, no, I'm so sorry. I'm married. You really thought that I could afford this house on a, like, cashier at a gas station salary? Come on. And he's like, oh, no big deal. Okay. So he's still, like, really flirty and, like, smiling, but he's like, okay, my bad, leaves. The next day, I got a dick pic from this guy. And I was like, what the hell? Who the hell? In a Schwan's Man uniform.
Oh, no.
Bro, what the hell? And no. He did the whole, it was meant for somebody else. Sorry. And
did
I
you,
was like,
did he say that
really?
First, or did you respond first? Like, what
I responded first. It was totally a lie. I responded first, and I was like, bro, like, what the fuck? And he says, was for my girlfriend. Her name is Susan. So Susan's next to Stacy in my phone. And I was like, yesterday you were asking me out and now you have a girlfriend. What the hell? Yeah.
Okay. I have a question. This is really, really important. What did you order?
Not that.
Because I really love their pizza ring thing. It's like a pepperoni cheese pizza ring. That shit's good.
I got so many pizzas because Kai was like, oh, my mom ordered from Schwan's once and they got these pizzas when I was like 12. And I was like, okay, I will.
You're like, Kai, do you look a little like the Schwan's?
Came a little bit with an extra sausage, that's for sure.
I was like, Kai, look at this picture I got.
Yeah. Did you really? What did Kai say? Was he like, what the fuck?
Kai's not throwing that shit like that. Yeah, Kai doesn't care.
He does not care.
Kai's like, well, oh, honey, you still got it. That would be Kai's response.
That's
I'm sure.
Exactly what his response yep. was. Good for you, babe. High five.
And that's the right answer. That's exactly the
Look
right
at you,
answer.
Honey. You still got that's it. Yeah. That's a man who trusts his wife right there. Like, right. Yep. Good for you, honey. You still got it. I'm happy for you.
Yep. Nice self-esteem booster, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why that ever became a thing, and I don't know when that started to be a thing, but men should stop that.
Yeah. I think just camera phones were invented.
Yeah.
I think and so right. naturally guys were like, I should take a picture of my dick and send it to people.
Oh, and heads up to people that have teenage sons. That can be used as like you are soliciting a minor, and that can get real out of control real quick. So you can be a registered mm-hmm. sex offender for showing nudes that a girl has sent you if you are under a certain age or over a certain age, or sending them to your friends mm-hmm. or sending them out. So yeah. mm-hmm. I think sometimes teenagers get a little bit overzealous and share, send, do all that stuff. You can, it's not a good outcome. So you should yep. talk to
Somebody
your teenage sons
pictures.
And your teenage daughters about what's appropriate.
All of yeah. the teenagers, somebody's yeah. naked pictures went through the high school not very long ago. And like, you know, a disgruntled boyfriend sent out the naked pictures. Yep. And everybody had
That's
it on their
terrible.
Phone because they were all making
so
fun
terrible.
Of her. And they collected cell phones at mm-hmm. the school and said, this is distributing kiddie porn.
Yeah. Yeah. You will yeah, be a good. Registered sex offender. So everyone yeah. should talk to their teenagers about that because it's no joke. Mm-hmm. And then when you show up on Megan's Law, you're like soliciting sex from under a 14-year-old or lewd and lascivious acts with 14 and under. And that's not great.
That's not cute.
No. Nope. Yeah. You can't do a lot of jobs.
Right.
And you have to register in That's every terrible. Neighborhood you're in.
You're not going to get trick-or-treaters.
Mm-hmm. Do we even
run people through that in a lawn care business? Like, I have mm-hmm. to check that shit out. Because I can't have them at an apartment building.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm. What kind of stuff does... I mean, you have teenage daughters. None of us have teenage daughters. Does she see a lot of that? Like, boys don't send her dick pics, right? Like, that's
it's
not a thing that
freaking
normally happens.
Snapchat. I
oh,
hate
Snapchat.
Snapchat's
a goddamn devil.
I would love to take it off my 16-year-old's phone, but the problem is she's exchanged. It's the cool thing to exchange. You don't exchange mm-hmm. phone numbers. You don't exchange Instagram, Facebook. It's Snapchat because mm-hmm. it's so easy to, like,
delete.
Just have somebody on your Snapchat, and then they send you a picture or a message. It's gone. You mm-hmm. look at it, it's gone. So it's like the ultimate way to cheat on your significant other or get away with shit as a teenager. And I would not let her have it, except that she's had it for the last 2 years. And it's the way that she has all the kids in the high school on it and all her camp friends and all the, you know, and if I made her delete it, she wouldn't have contact with so many people that I'm like, well, shit. But yeah, that's how they do it. Snapchat.
What do you think about the parents? And I'm asking Stacey this specifically. What do you, I see a lot of things pop up on like my Facebook feed, you know, those like sponsored targeted ads about how you can snoop on your kids. Like you can pretty much clone their phone to yours. So you see every text message they send, every Snapchat they send, like all of it shows up in your own stuff because their phone is cloned to yours. What do you think of that?
I think if your teenager gives you reason to do that and they're under 18 and you're paying their cell phone bill, even if they're paying their cell phone bill, I think that's kind of the way to go. If you have a teenager that might be hooked on drugs, might be anorexic, might have an abusive boyfriend, might be sneaking out at night, there's so many things that I'm not opposed to it. If you have a teenager, like my daughter hasn't gotten in significant trouble. I'm not saying she doesn't get in trouble. She has not gotten in trouble where I think, okay, this could be something life ruining, or right. I feel like you're lying about something big enough that like you could get in trouble with the law, you know, like then I would do it.
Yeah.
But you know, you need to have like a good reason. I don't think that you should invade your, right. your teenager's privacy until they give you reason to.
I don't think teenagers should have an expectation of privacy. But I agree with you. I wouldn't invade it unless
you need to build
reason.
Trust.
Yeah. Right.
You have to build trust, and they do get an amount of privacy as a human, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So
right.
When my kids get cell phones, it's 13. They can't have a cell phone until they're 13. When they get cell phones, there's parental controls. And the fact that we pay the bill, we can look at their cell phones, go through their Instagram messages, all of the stuff, anytime we want. Give me your cell phone. I'm going to go through everything you just texted in the last hour. Like, that's the right we have as a parent. And in this house, we don't do it very often. You know, like maybe once every 6 months, I'll pick up my kid's cell phone and kind of just scan through and make sure there's no red flags. And it's more for other people's kids than my own. Mm-hmm. You know, if I see that the little girl down the street has what looks like a drinking problem, I'm going to see it in the text messages. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that's just a thing in our house. If I'm paying the bill, I get to see your cell phone.
My aunt calls it being on the payroll.
I get to read all the messages and whatever.
She says, as long as you're on the payroll, right. I have access to your phone, your email, like all of it. I want all of the passwords so that I can check on all of your things if I want to. It doesn't mean that she does.
If I want to.
I need access because we pay for you to live here.
Like, right. They also have a ton of privacy. My kids, I don't go on their Xbox and look at who they're talking to until they give me reason to not trust them. I trust them. They're good kids.
I'm not trying to sound like an idiot, but like a journal, you wouldn't read their journal.
Right. No. Okay. Unless I was like, I think that little Brittany down the street might be pregnant. Like, and I talked to my kid and they're like, no at all. Like if I had a reason to go through Brittany's text messages to my kid, then I would.
I would 100% read my kid's journal.
My mom totally read my journal.
I would if I thought he was in danger to himself. Yeah, if I saw like a major switch in his personality or attitude, or I thought he was heading down a path that is destructive, then yeah, I would read his journal to protect him. I would never hold anything against him that I found, like as far as just I have a crush on this person or that person or whatever it may be. But if I found something where like he was thinking about harming himself or whatever, at least I would know then. And, but like I'm saying, if I found out through his journal that he was out drinking with his friends, I wouldn't ground him, but I would only go through it if I thought something was like, if he was going to harm himself or someone else, then I would. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And how you build the trust, because All the times I've gone through my daughter's phone like 3 times, but the times that I've gone through her phone, I see stuff. I see people coming out. I see people talking about, you know, certain things. My parents don't trust me and this and that. And I'm like, okay, like, thank you. I saw a little window into your life. I don't bring up any of that stuff. Even when they make little mistakes and kind of like, you probably shouldn't have said that. I don't bring up anything because they're kids. That's what they're going to do. It has to be like something so big that it's harmful to themselves or somebody else that I would have to say, like, okay, we need to talk about this.
Yeah. I know my mom read my journal when, like, there was this lady that lived behind the street, like behind the, like behind our house, like across the alley. She was this like older woman that I totally had this crush on. And my mom read
so
my journal.
So
I know. Really, I'm not on brand is that she was dark haired.
Oh, plot
she
twist.
Had long dark hair. Yeah, I know. Plot twist. But she, like, I just was like totally obsessed with her. Like, I was like that obsessive teenager. Whereas, like, I don't know, understand what these feelings are, but I'm gonna put them on this person. You know what I mean? Because I had no idea what even being gay meant. So it was, I think senior year, my mom. Like came into my room and she was just like, so I'm not sure what this obsession is with this woman behind us, but, and I'm like, fuck Mary.
See, like, I would do that. If my kid was working out his sexuality with like a fixation on a man, I wouldn't call him out on that. I only would if I thought he was going to hurt himself or like someone else.
100% not my, like my mother. You know what I mean? Like my mom, 100% and did not want me to be gay.
Yeah.
She was very upset about it, very sad, all of the things that a parent could be. She did not want me to be a lesbian. So she was almost like an intervention. Like, I don't know what this, and you know, the funny part is like, she ended up working with her. They moved back to Colorado and my mom ended up working with this woman for like, her name was Brenda. I mean, it was just like so weird and random. And it was just Brenda. Like, but my mom, like when my mom had looked back on it before, she had actually said, like, I get it. I understand now why that relationship, you know, why you put all of these feelings onto this person that you knew nothing about. And I was like, yeah, I was fucking struggling, mom. I was in fucking rural Colorado in a town of 2,500 people trying to figure out that I'm a fucking dyke. Like, what the fuck? You know, it was hard. So my mom reading my journal was one of the biggest things that like broke our trust, to be honest.
Yep. That's super relationship like breaking.
I also think there's like a line you have to walk as a parent if you're going to read your kid's journal. Like my father, when my parents got divorced, I was 10 and I went to live with my dad and I lived with him until I was 16, him and my stepmom. And then I moved back in with my mom. But they were all up in my business all the time. And I honestly, at that point, was not a bad kid. Like, I was not doing anything crazy. But because they were so invasive, I started acting out. So I'm actually glad now that that happened to me, because I know the fine line that it has to, you have to walk as a parent, because the things they were finding out about me then weren't, I wasn't hurting anyone. I wasn't doing anything wrong. Like, I was just being a teenager, and I wish they had approached it differently. So but now that I'm a parent and I look at Lincoln and I know that there is nothing that I wouldn't do to protect him. I know that if I thought he was in danger, I would read about it. I would want to find out what it was so that I could help him, because I wouldn't know if he would be able to articulate himself. But if it was anything that didn't put him in imminent danger, I would never say a word. Yeah. Ever. I mean, I may tell you guys. I mean, whatever. Like, this motherfucker.
Right. Of
but
course.
I would never say anything to him, because some things you have to figure out on your own. Like, some shit you just have to navigate and get through and find out. But yeah, if I was worried about his mental health or someone he was close with's mental health, then I would.
Yeah.
Speaking of little devils,
hi, Monkey. There he is.
He's getting his Woody hat. We don't have to worry about that for a while. He still wears a Woody hat. We're not in any danger of him sleeping with anyone.
Funny.
That's hilarious.
So I don't know. I think the whole like, because now I'm on these mom groups and I see these some moms being like, no, your kids are entitled to privacy because they're human beings. I'm like, not really. Like, they are, sure, but only to a point.
Yeah, there's like certain levels. I feel like
it doesn't have to be 100% one way or 100% the other. Like, there's a healthy balance to walk, and if you let your kids just run the fuck out of them, you make poor choices as a teenager. Poor choices.
I never did.
Yes, you did. You 100% did. You never made a poor choice.
A lot of bad choices either. Not like in trouble.
Oh, yeah, I made poor choices.
One. I made
right?
one.
Me too.
I went past a bus with its stop sign out when I was Whoa! Just 16, and the bus
you
driver lived.
Rule breaker.
Yeah, oh, she lived wow. behind us. So she called the cops, and the cops came to my house at lunchtime because my stepdad was the chief of police. Oh. And he, fuck, the cop was there when I came home for lunch. He was like, I was like, what the fuck's going on? What's Vinny doing here? So I go inside, and my mom's like, what did you do? And I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I don't know what I did. I swear to God. Like, that was the only rule I swear to God I ever broke because my stepdad was the chief of police. Like, it was hard to break any rules in Rangeley, Colorado. Like, I'm telling you.
You also have
I saved all my bad choices for adulthood.
Yeah, 24, baby. That was my bad
year. You also 24. Have to let your kids make a certain amount of bad choices or they don't yeah, they learn the long-term like yep. reasoning for reasons that you don't make bad choices when you're away from home. You have to let them date the guy that you don't want them to date
you
or the girl or whoever. You have to let them
you
fail.
You have to let them get in a certain amount of trouble. Yeah. Like if you know that they're going to go like do something at a slumber party that you're mm-hmm. kind of like, they probably shouldn't. You need to let them make their own memories that they're going to tell their kids
yep.
someday. Yeah. And yeah.
Can't protect them from everything.
Well, you have
because
to allow them a
little bit.
If
you don't,
yeah.
then they go off to college or they grow up and like leave the house and they haven't had those experiences. Then they do them when they're 25 and it's way worse.
Right. Agreed.
Well, that and there's a certain amount of cause and effect and pain and reward that you have to learn to be able to navigate adulthood. Like you have to be able to learn yourself. What are the red flags of someone that I shouldn't date? What are the positive signs? And if you never let them hit those red flags on their own by letting them get their heart broken, they will not learn by adulthood and will hurt 100 times more. Let them get their heart broken in high school. Let them figure out what guys are douchebags and what girls are douchebags. And let them find mm-hmm. out how girls are manipulative and what the warning signs are. Like, you have to let them be hurt a little bit to make them mm-hmm. decent adults. You just have
yeah.
to.
Yep.
I totally wish my mom would have been like, hey, Aaron, it's totally fine if you like girls. Also, they can be narcissists and pieces of shit, and you can totally be okay with that. You're going to make it through it. You're going to survive.
Watch out for those brown hair ones.
Well, I'm just saying, like, I feel like there's, you have so much truth in that, Jackie. Like, you have to let your kids make these mistakes when they're younger because they are more able to survive it then.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, they're more resilient. They're more able to find the silver lining, to figure out their way around it.
And you're there for them. You're not there for them when they're alone in an apartment in some city that you're away from.
Right. Or that you're dead.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, my stakes are just lower.
Yeah.
This could be an entire podcast episode. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I think maybe it should be. Let's write it down. I'm the secretary. I'll write it down.
Another sex episode and this.
Yeah, I just don't know how much good people are doing their kids when they try to isolate them from every possible bad outcome in their lives. Kids don't learn resilience, they don't learn coping skills, and you're harming them as adults because a bad thing happens, they don't know how to cope. That you learn those coping skills as a child. Like,
yep.
I watch my son, it makes my heart race. He does this thing where he runs up and down the couch every single night, like across the pillows. And I want to grab him and tell him not to run because he's going to fall. And I know he'll be 2 and 2 months. So it's not the same thing as having teenagers, of course. But part of me is like, all right, motherfucker, you're going to fall and it's going to hurt. And hopefully you're more aware of your surroundings next time. So you kind of, those little things have to translate into adulthood because you want them to learn their own footing in the world, and falling off a couch is one of them. Like, you have to learn it, or you'll be one
literally
of those people that can't cope with life, and nobody likes those people.
I'm just 15 years ahead of you. My kid is not running and falling off the couch. My kid is at a slumber party where everybody's getting drunk, and she's going, huh, I don't want to look like an idiot. And you're going, you need to experience that so that you, when you fall, you realize yeah. it hurts.
Mm-hmm. Although right now I am saying don't fall because we can't go to the emergency room right now.
Right.
Right.
I also, I found out something a fun fact, I don't know if it's fun or not, I always thought of the two of us, I was going to be the stricter parent. I am not going to be the stricter parent.
Oh, I could have told you that.
It's going to be Lex.
Because you're the one that snuck out and did the crazy shit and drank. So you know, like, all the stuff.
No, you did that, Jackie. You snuck out.
Shit.
Oh, yeah, we did.
Shit. I have come to find out, though, Lex is going to be the overprotective one, and it's not, or the stricter one, I should say. Like, she's way more, like, hardcore about some of the rules where I'm like, no, he's got to figure it out on his own. And it's very interesting because I thought for sure I was going to be like the disciplinarian. I am not. I am not. And it's an interesting dynamic.
Yeah.
Oh, well, she already hates his future, like, girlfriends or boyfriends or whatever. Like, all of them are already not good enough. And I'm like, we don't even know who they are. Like, you may like them. They could be decent human beings. We don't know.
Daughters, I hate hearing that. Everybody says that no girl is good enough for their sons. And I'm like, I have daughters. They are good enough. I swear.
Yeah, your daughters are good enough. I agree. Like, I don't know if it's a... And she's like, you just like everyone. I'm like, well, yeah. I mean, give me a reason not to like you before I don't like you. Like, I think that's a valid, but I don't... Yeah. It's very funny. It's gone totally the opposite direction of what I thought it would. Because I did so much bad shit, I thought I was going to be the one that's like, you're not doing any of this. And no, it's very different.
It makes sense to me.
No. Yeah. I'm going to be his best friend as a teenager. I'll tell you that right now. I used to tell her, like, don't you dare let him go do anything and not tell me because I'm going to be pissed. And now I'm like, I think I might let him do some stuff and not tell her.
I love it.
How's everyone's alcohol?
Good.
I mean, I've had better Tito's.
No, you haven't.
No. Are we going to talk about what we're obsessed with?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
This is like a 2-hour podcast.
Whatever. What else are people doing?
All right. Stace, what are you obsessed with?
Obviously, my kittens.
Obviously.
Like, oh, I'm obsessed with them too.
Having to do this is making the time go by so much faster. Every time I look at the clock, I need to do a feeding and taking care of them. So I feel like it's making the time go way faster. So I know I told you, Mom, that I would be mad at you for 2 weeks and to talk to me in 2 weeks about it, but I'm telling you right now, it is making quarantine go faster. So that's what I'm obsessed with. Also, that we're going to have piglets, goats, and kittens all at the same time in about a week, and it's going to make the cutest spring pictures.
Oh, I can't wait!
I'm so lucky.
Telling you, your TikTok.
So
lucky. I'm going to make all of the TikToks.
Yeah.
I've already saved a bunch of the, like, puppy, like, whatever, like, sounds to go with. Yep.
Yeah, we need baby animal TikTok.
I can't wait to follow you.
Stacey, what are you obsessed with? I know you only have 15 minutes.
Okay. Don't laugh at me, you dick.
You only get two.
Okay.
You get two.
So, Aaron knows about it because...
Don't say Star Trek.
It's a little bit Star Trek.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
You guys have no idea. Okay. I am bored at home like everyone else. So I started watching Star Trek Picard, which is phenomenal. It's so good. Patrick Stewart is so amazing. But I was like, man, I kind of don't remember like all of the, you know, I need the schema and I don't remember all of it. So I decided to go back on Netflix and watch a little bit of Star Trek The Next Generation just to like jog my memory because my brother loved that show so much. And I didn't realize I had seen, like, every fucking episode. Well, first of all, I do not remember that show being super horny. Every episode of that show, it's just aliens fucking. Like, all the time. I sent Aaron some pictures. He looks like he's wearing a Borat, like, one-piece swimsuit. He's got the weirdest moose knuckle situation happening.
So bad, it's like all the way on the right, all the way on the right of that package.
I know. I was like, I watched this as a child. This was not even on television. It was in syndication on like Channel 3, like not even on a network. I don't know how this happened, but I was like hardcore stanning. Counselor Troy and Riker so much that I may have dabbled into.
It's happening. It's
Don't
happening.
Say it. Fan fiction.
She did it.
She fell into fan fiction.
She fell.
From a show that's been off the air for like 20 years.
It doesn't ever go out for fan fiction.
So bad. Times are hard, guys.
Oh, man.
But you legit bought a book, though, right?
I did. I bought a book, but then I also perused.
Oh, no.
Did you go to Archive of Our Own?
Oh, no.
Yes!
That's my favorite site on the internet.
Yeah.
On the interwebs?
Yes, on the interwebs, on the old interwebbies.
So, but then I was talking to my mom about it because I was like, I don't remember this show being so horny. And she was like, oh, yeah. She was like, that's how the original one was, too. Like, that's all Captain Kirk did was go out and fuck aliens. I'm not even, when I say that, I mean, like, one episode, a being just impregnates someone. And another one, like, they're just, all the aliens are fucking. All the time.
I started it again. I'd watched a little bit of it, and then Stacey was like, you must do this with me. And I was like, okay, because I love you. So I did. And I started it today. I actually started
this morning. What did you start? Did you start Picard? Or
no, I started.
No, you started Next Generation?
Yeah. Because I Marco polled you. I'm like, did you start Next Generation, or did you start like old school?
I started Next Generation again.
Okay, so I started Next Generation, and it's been an experience. I'm probably only like three episodes in, but I'm fully enjoying it. Like, I remember watching it as a kid just being like, oh, haha, like my parents were watching it. You know what I mean? Like, oh, blah, blah, blah. But like now I'm like, okay, I get it. And this is a lot for.
It's good, but it is so horned up.
Well, and like, you know, like in the, even the new Star Trek movies, like Captain Kirk, Chris Pine, like he's always sleeping with aliens.
Yeah.
So it makes complete sense. It's very, very hilarious.
I think the difference is like on Next Generation, like the female characters are very sexual.
And they're very out front and there. They're very present. They're very present. I love that. I love it.
All right, Gene, what are you obsessed with?
You're so judgy.
I didn't say anything.
Lord of the Rings.
Listen, it's getting me through this.
Okay.
Stacy, I'm wondering why now you noticed how horny the show is.
She's like 30.
Maybe with 8, I didn't really have a concept of that.
Maybe it's really not the show that's horny during the pandemic.
Oh.
Just saying.
I think she's on to something.
You bring up a valid point. But there is not one episode without aliens fucking.
Well, I mean, as a main plot point. Isn't that what most of Donald Trump's marriages have been about? Fucking aliens? Yeah.
This is Donald Trump. This is going to ruin it for me.
Fucking aliens over.
Fucking aliens over. Yes, exactly.
Not like for pleasure. Well, he was pleasured by it, but...
Yeah, I doubt they were.
I strongly doubt they were.
Not at all.
What am I obsessed with this week? Well, you know what? I finally scored some orange juice.
I was just going to say, Gene found orange juice.
Wow. I documented my journey on Facebook Live today of me finally being successful at procuring some orange juice for myself. And the reason why this is such a big deal is that I literally made at least 3 different attempts to get orange juice, and either the shelves were bare or there was a social distancing line outside the grocery store, and I'm like, you know what? There is no fucking supply other than alcohol that I would even entertain standing in line for. So I literally went on like 4 different excursions to get myself some orange juice. And today I was finally successful. And luckily I, for posterity and for historical purposes, you know, well, 500 years from now, students will be learning about the pandemic of 2020. And maybe my Facebook Live of me actually obtaining the orange juice will serve as a learning tool.
momentous occasion.
Indeed, a momentous occasion.
I'm happy for you and your orange juice.
I am also thrilled for you.
And it's not even for screwdrivers or mimosas, believe it or not.
Is it just for the vitamin C?
Just for the vitamin C each morning to like start out my day with a glass of fresh OJ, no pulp, not from concentrate. And I scored.
From Aldi, right?
Aldi, yes. I had to wait in line for a little bit, but I used that moment to document it with a Facebook
post. I love that you like asked that guy when you were in there. You were like, sir, what are you here for?
I can't believe it was live.
It was live. And you know what? I was so happy to find the orange juice, and I didn't want to like, I wanted to make sure he got his orange juice too. And he said that he did. And then he was kind enough to let me know they also had eggs, but I didn't need eggs. So I felt like it was a rare moment where I actually took time to acknowledge a stranger as another human, fellow human being, which under normal circumstances, I would never do. So I feel like this pandemic is helping me become a better version of Jean.
It's really changing you.
I think so. I hope it's for the better.
Erin?
So I have been obsessed with a couple things. One, I have been obsessed with what we have been rewatching Star Wars. So I've been obsessed with that, which has been amazing. Like Gail has seen them, the original three. I don't think she saw the prequels, and then obviously she's seen the sequels, but I've been kind of just obsessed with watching those with her. But also I've been obsessed with, I had Gail watch Dead to Me. She had not watched it yet. Yeah. And so we watched it all this past weekend. And so I've been like obsessively like, I can't wait. Like, I think it's like May 8th, right? The next season comes out. So I've been like super excited about it because it was such a great show. It's so well acted. Christina Applegate, like, let's talk about an actress that aged really well. A. Mm-hmm. B. Also aged well in a normal way. Like, mm-hmm. She's not super... I mean, I definitely think she's had some work done. She's obviously had some Botox, but whatever. But, like, she just looks like a normal 40, 42, 43, 45, maybe 44. I skipped a number.
48.
So, like, I just feel like she looks like a normal, you know, like, middle-aged woman, which is really great to see. And I think it's also really great to see because I really enjoy Christina Applegate. I always have. Like, I loved her in Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead, which is one of the best movies ever. I continuously always say, always, every time the dishes are done, I'm like, the dishes are done, man. Like,
everything is staple in our house. That's what everybody says.
Like, it's just, and people that don't know it, I'm like, what are you, you uncultured swine? Like, what the fuck? So, like, there's Christina Applegate, I feel like, has really come a long way in a really good way. Like, she's traveled this really, like, treacherous path, but she's come out, like, clean on the other side, which I really enjoy. But, like, the other thing that I've been, like, obsessed with, and this is going to sound really odd, but Fleetwood Mac. Like, we put on Fleetwood Mac on Alexa, and she's been, like, just doing, like, just shuffle songs by Fleetwood Mac. And it's just, like, constant Fleetwood Mac songs. And I just, there's something about Stevie Nicks' voice and Christine McVie's voice. And it just does, it's just like this whole really great vibe that's going on in our house at this moment. I really, really like it. I'm really happy with it. I really love Fleetwood Mac, P.S. I never realized how much I loved them until now. Like, I'm just like, these songs are, they're good. They're really, really catchy. They're easy to learn, but they're also really heartfelt and emotional. And I just don't think I realized that as like a 17-year-old, you know, when my parents were playing Fleetwood Mac, I was like, ah, fuck this shit. I want to listen to, you know, fucking Dr. Dre and fucking Snoop Dogg singing about gin and juice. You know what I mean? Like, my jam then. And now I'm like, I'm understanding that this music is a lot about like centering yourself and understanding that life finds a way and goes on even in the toughest of times. And I think that's really awesome. So I know it's a lot for my obsessed with, but I feel like our cat herder has a big ass.
Just keep on talking until she gets back.
And she's back.
Yeah.
Oh,
cat herder?
Normally you go on for quite a while, so I thought I had time to pee.
This is like the disc jockey's version of playing Freebird so they can go take a dump during the drive.
So I'm obsessed with this week. One, I thought I'd be sick of my family by now. I'm not. I still think they're pretty rad. And I can only imagine how many like divorces are going to come out of this. But it's good to know you can survive quarantine with someone. And two, I had to put my beloved little Gizmo down this week. Stacy had given him to me as a Christmas present when I was in my 20s, like 10 and a half years ago. And I'm just really going to miss him. But I don't want it to be a sad thing. Like, it was time. He was sick. He was struggling to breathe. And it was what was best. But he was a real cool dog. Like, real cool. Real laid back. He was a Chihuahua, but I swear he thought he was, like, a Basset Hound. And he only, like, barked when people rang the doorbell and stuff, which was nice. He wasn't a yapper. He wasn't a shaker. Like,
yeah, he wasn't one of those bug-eyed, shaky, weird Chihuahuas. He was way cooler than that.
Yeah, he was real laid back and just, he was my little buddy and I'm gonna miss him. So I didn't want the week to go by without recognizing my little Gizmo. He had moved cross country with me twice. He has been to more states than most people I know. Bueno had sent me a, she dipped these strawberries for me in chocolate and sent them to me. And she said that she was sorry about Gizmo and that he was more resilient than most people she knew. And that was true. Like the rest of the animals, when they got like to California, they were real kind of thrown and all over the place. Gizmo was just like, cool, man. Like, we're here now. What's up? Like, he was just real laid back. And I know people think Chihuahua and they think the opposite, but he was not that. So I'm going to miss him. And it broke my heart when Lincoln walked around everywhere looking for him. But I'm also glad he
don't know
really
if you're trying to make me cry, but I'm definitely getting teary-eyed over here. So thank you.
But he was still the best present I ever got. So thank you, Stacy, for giving him to me. And he'll be missed. So that's it for us this week. Next week.
She picked him out. I didn't just buy a random puppy for my best friend because that is not a good idea and nobody should ever do that to someone. Pets are not a gift. Mm-hmm, like, don't do that. She picked him out and was like kind of undecided about it. And we had this whole conversation about it. And then I went and talked to the guy that owned them and I bought him. So she was super disappointed when he had to tell her that Gizmo was sold. And she was like, I should have done it. Because
I didn't just want
him.
Any damn puppy like, from that litter. I wanted Gizmo. The first time I held him.
Gizmo, yep.
The first time I held him, Steve is the guy's name. He worked with us. I picked him up. He fit in the palm of my hand. Gizmo only weighed 6 pounds full grown. So Gizmo is a puppy fit in the palm of my hand. And the first time I held him, he curled up like on my shoulder. And he went, and like sighed. And I was like, that's it. I didn't even want a dog. I was like, that's it. I have to have this dog.
He immediately called me and was like, I just held the cutest little dog. And I knew Steve. So I was like, huh. And she was like, I kind of want to buy him. Like, what do you think? And I was like, nah, you're too busy. Like, whatever. And I called Steve and was like, I need to buy this little dog.
Yeah.
And he was like, Jax really likes him. And I was like, no, I need to buy this little dog. And then Jax heard from Steve and Steve told her, Gizmo sold. So, and Jax was super disappointed and I knew I did the right thing. I was like, cool.
Yeah. For the record, Steve wasn't like a breeder. His dogs had puppies and that's how Gizmo like came into the world. It wasn't like I sought out a breeder with him because I know people get real worked up over that, but it was... His mom's name was Margarita and his dad's name was Pickles. and they had puppies, and Gizmo was just a little shining light in my world, and I couldn't bear to watch it keep getting snuffed out by his sickness. So he was, I will miss him, but I am so grateful for the 10 and a half years I had with him, and he will be missed in this family, but he's much better off now because he was so sick. So still the best present I ever got, and he always will be. Until you
Jackie,
buy me my
what
next
a
dog.
Moving tribute.
Yeah.
Well, I think sometimes people get too, like, it's time for them to go sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't want to see him get worse. So I couldn't, he had done so much for me, I couldn't watch him get worse. So
you gave him a beautiful life, and then you knew when it was time to let him go.
Mm-hmm.
That's beautiful.
I'm really sad.
I know.
No, it's good. You know what? We caught it. We put him down at the beginning of the end. It was good for him. We didn't have to watch him. It was sad.
It just makes me sad. I just get so sad at the end of a dog's life because I just am like, they spent their whole lives so devoted. And then we just are like, bye. And I'm just like, I know it's like the right time and the good time. And I never even met him.
She's also at the end of a bottle of Tito's, by the way.
I know. I have a lot left.
I assure you, I stayed with Gizmo through the whole thing. I didn't leave him there to be put down with strangers.
Oh,
like, I stayed
I don't
with
want to
him.
That story.
And he, for what it's worth, he didn't fight it. He just laid down and, like, let me pet him, and he went to sleep. So he knew it was time also. It was it was a good thing.
I love you. But I just, like, I worry so much about Hannah. Like, she's got this, like, spot on her, like, on the side of her that she has, like, a little moly, and it's, like, gotten really bad. And I just fear that it's skin cancer. So I'm, like, really emotional about it. Yeah, and so, like, tomorrow, like, I'm like, they're going to like an appointment, Gail and Hannah, and I'm just very sad about it because I'm like really worried about it. So like, this is just like, I think also I need to start my period. I don't know. It's also so. Uncle Tito hates me.
We also don't, their dogs are such a wonderful part of our lives, but we know going into it, we don't get them forever.
You
only get them for a short period of time. And When that time ends, it ends. It doesn't mean I'll ever forget him. Like,
no, of course not.
I know. And I, like, if something bad were to happen to Hannah, like, I know that. But I'm just, like, it's just so sad because these dogs become such a, like, integral part of, like, our emotional healing.
Yeah.
You know? So it's, like, you know, when I first got Hannah, I was, like, going through a really bad breakup. And, like, I was on my own for the very first time. Like, I lived with someone for my entire life, like, and then I was by myself and I had Hannah, and I was just like, she was everything, and now I'm like, what happens if something's wrong, you know? And so I'm just like worried about it because I'm a worrier and that's what I do. But your story about Gizmo is just so adorable and just so wonderful, and
I'm sad I had to give him up, but I wouldn't trade a single day with him, and I wouldn't change my like what we had to do, and it is what it is.
We've had to put a couple dogs to sleep. Like, we had to put our dog Maddie down, and we had to put our dog She-Ra down, and our dog Dorothy. So, like, I get it, and I know it becomes this moment of when you're like weighing the like their life versus like your life. You know what I mean? Like, I will not be continued to be happy if they're struggling. So I get it. I just get so sad about it. I'm like, Jesus Christ, what's gonna happen when I have to put Hannah down? And I'm like, I just get freaked out. I get fucking freaked out.
Well, you can't don't think about it until the time comes, and it could be a very long time from now.
You know, that's not how my mind works. I'm a fucking ridiculous person. So
thanks for tuning in this week, everyone.
Sorry I got emotional on you all. I love you.
No one is surprised. We'll talk to you next week about sex. Bye.
Cool. Yeah, bye.
Bye.